You might like to turn in your Bible, if you would, to the Gospel of John and chapter 7, but chapter 1. Then chapter 7. Perhaps we can look to the Lord in a word of prayer. And our God and Father, we bow head and heart before you to give you the honor and the glory. And our God will thank you. Spirit of God, thank you. Thank you very much. In Christ's name, amen. In the Gospel of John, you'll remember, John is the last living apostle. And thus, his assignment is to, like in Isaiah 40, behold your God. I'm going to sum up John. Behold, Isaiah 40, behold your God. Now, so God, you're going to put it all together, Old Testament, all of history, New Testament, as we've shared many times. Now, keep in mind, in John 1:1, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by Him, and without Him was not anything made that was made. So, God, you're going to clue us in about yourself. I am. And, keeping in mind, if you're going to tell me who you are and to understand in the light of all of history, and all of history has done what? They have basically rejected you. They are basically ignorant of you. They have chose not to know you at all. So God, what are we going to find in the Gospel of John that is rather special? You're going to help us understand the rationale and the reasoning. If they're looking at me directly, I'm going to give you a little history lesson on how people think about me and what they did with me. And John 1:14, the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld His glory, the glory of the only, as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. And so as you read, you're going, verse 10, He was in the world, 1:10. He was in the world, and the world was made by Him, and the world knew Him not. It didn't know Him. Didn't even pay attention. So what did you do? Well, you came to the people that should know and should expect you in the light of all the promise, in the light of all the prediction. They should be the ones to know. And, verse 11, He came unto His own, and His own received Him not. Now, they just continually rejected Him. So now, when I turn the pages, God, what are you going to record? John, rather precise about everything. What are you going to record? Are you going to record those things to help me understand the reasoning people had in their head of why they didn't receive me? Why they rejected me. I'm going to help you through it. So now, back over to John chapter 7. And in John chapter 7, you would recall, remember he's 6 months from now, approximately, he's going to go to the cross. So you're looking at zeroing in on the target. And in chapter 7, going, as we did, in verse 15, the Jews marveled, saying, How knoweth this man letters, having never learned, and that doesn't mean A, B, C, D, it means to have the authority and accuracy that one would have if you went to the school of Shammai or Hillel, two schools. You would go and you would reflect the school and the teacher in the teaching. Now, our Lord was, he's talking to scholars, rabbi scholars, and the scholars marvel, and the people marveled. that they wanted to know what school he went to, because he obviously had to go to school somewhere. And he had a, what kind of a teacher would he have had? Well, they were wrong on both counts. He went, his schooling came from God the Father personally. The teacher was God. The school was God's school, God's heaven. So man, that's why you're something else. And that's what they said. What you say and how you say it. What you know and how you know it. And therefore they were taken. And therefore God answers, the Lord answers them, remember. In verse 16 to 24, God answers them and answers their question, etc. So now when you come along, and they are not happy about things, and the leadership was out to get him, to kill him. And in killing him, that's what they were trying to do. So the whole object was to, especially from the Sadducees, because they were not looking for a Messiah. Messiah would louse up their world. A Messiah would, because then there'd be resurrection, there'd be all kinds of things that they don't believe in. And so they don't want him. And the Pharisees don't need him because he rejects their righteousness, and they're so busy trying to be right, they're wrong. So that isn't going. And so both of the Sanhedrin, the Sadducees, Pharisees, chief priests, they're out to get him. They're out to kill him. And we've shared that in chapter 7, verse 1. After these things, Jesus walked in Galilee, for he would not walk in Jewry. Why? Because the Jews sought to kill him. So, and he was very careful where he went and when he went. But never was he had a problem with the threat of being captured or anything. He just didn't have that. But he showed up at the right time in the right places for the right reasons. He wasn't trying to mock them at all. He just did what he did as he was outworking the will of God. So here in chapter 7, and picking up, the crowd, remember, responded. The multitude responded to his marvelous answers and education coming from God. They marveled, and we shared together last time that he had, the people answered, verse 20, and said, "Thou hast a devil or a demon. Who goeth about to kill thee?" So he has a demon, and remember, John the Baptist had a demon. Everyone that is phenomenal, awesome, must have some outside help. It isn't God. So if it isn't God, then it's a demon. It's a spiritual realm that gives you the extra power and privilege and understanding. Wow. And so he must have a demon to be able to do these extraordinary miracles, etc. And so in answering, they crowd in using that for an explanation. And when we came down to chapter 7 and verse 25, the people were now going to respond that live in Jerusalem, remember. Galilee, up there with the fishermen and people, ignorant, they don't know. But the people that live in Jerusalem, they're educated, they are exposed to the temple, they're exposed to the Sanhedrin, the priests, the Sadducees. They're exposed to a way of life that the Galileans aren't. And so therefore they have the advantage. And they have the same thing in our world, you know. If you were a Washingtonite, I guess that's how you'd say that. If you lived in Washington and were in the center, you would have all kinds. You'd be going and having coffee in the the dining rooms of the senators and congressmen. You'd be having all kinds of things. And you would have all kinds of information and stuff that the average person on the street, they don't have that. And thus the using the word of the guy, I can't even think of his name, it's been so long, you know, he said, "We designed Obamacare, and we did it so that we knew the people were stupid. And we did it. We did it because we knew they were stupid. And we expected them to be stupid about what we did. We know what we're doing, and they're stupid. And we did that. So here's Jerusalem, Jerusalem. And in the process, they are there, and they have this extra special understanding that gives them the advantage. And we shared together that they, in the process, verse 25, 26, etc., they had the advantage, and they knew, but they didn't know. No, they knew. Well, they knew, but they didn't know. And we shared together in verse 28 that the Lord said, "You do know me. You do know me. And not only do you know me, but you know where I'm from." So, and the Lord took them, and it isn't a question that they didn't know. They did know. They did. And we shared last time together. They knew he was over to, easy to see it, right next door. In chapter 6 and verse 42, we know he is the son of Joseph. His father and mother we know, his brothers and sisters, Matthew 13, 55, etc., his brothers and sisters, we know. And he's told us all kinds of, we know where he is. We know where he's from. Bethlehem, Nazareth, Galilee. We know that. So God said, you do know these things. And you do know them in a very awesome way. And we share together in the process of that, that here's our world. And we're on down the road from where they were after the cross, etc. And we have Christmas, the world, basically, not all the world, but most of Europe and all that, those countries influenced by Christianity have an influence. He was born in Bethlehem at Christmas, and we celebrate and that, and we have Easter, and we have all those things. So it isn't a question that the people of the street don't know, but they don't know. They know, but they don't know. So it isn't a question of that. God said, you do know. Well, I never heard of Jesus. Wrong, you did. You have Christmas and Easter. You do know. Now, what you want, you do know. So don't say you don't know. The problem is you don't know enough, and you haven't followed through enough to find out what you do know and why you do know it and where that will take you. If you know he's the son, stepson of Joseph, then you're going to end up with Mary. You're going to end up with God, the Spirit of God, and his incarnation. It's a very special birth. That's what you're going to end up with. But you don't go that far. And so now, having said that, in chapter 7, and we shared together when you came to in the place that they had, verse 32, and the Pharisees heard that the people murmured. They're murmuring, always murmuring, remember. It's just their way of life to murmur. They started way back when they left Egypt with Moses, and they murmured, and they've been murmuring ever since. Ever murmuring. Why? Because we can't be like the nations. When we're like the nations, we get clipped, and God won't let us be like the nations. No, he won't. No, he won't. You don't have a Jerusalem over in South America or anywhere else. What you do is have it in Jerusalem where it belongs, and you have all the Jews, and all the Jews can never be a nation. There's no national nation, Jewish nation. The only one you have is over in Palestine and Jerusalem. That's the only one there ever can be. Why can't we be? You can't. God made it so you can never be. When I saved you, Exodus 19, for myself, you will never be another's. Ever. You can never be anyone's. You belong to me. And the Jews are always frustrated, murmuring, because we can't fit in. No, you can't. You can't. And you might as well line up quickly, and it's going to take the tribulation to make that happen, for Israel to line up with God. as they need to in their hearts. So now here in verse 32, they're murmuring all the time, murmuring. That's the way they life, because they just can't fit in, and they aren't meant to fit in. And in chapter 7, verse 32 again, the Pharisees heard, and the chief priests, the Pharisees heard that the people muttered, growled, grumbling, such things concerning him. And the Pharisees and the chief priests sent officers, the Pharisees and the chief priests, the Sanhedrin, Sadducees, they sent officers. The word officer is the word, little word rower, like a rowing a boat. And then the word under rower. And you'll remember it from other, for the believers. Believers are, 1 Corinthians, we are under rowers. They're the, remember the old ships, Greek ships and Romans, and the ships. And down below, here's the deck, and down below, underneath, are the rowers. They're down under, and they row the ship. They can't see anything. They just row, under rowers. That's the word, officers. They are the temple police. They are the temple custodians. And they are under the Sadducees and Sanhedrin, and they go, and they are temple guards, and they are sent to arrest him. In verse 32, and the people murmured, and such things, and the Pharisees and the chief priests sent officers to take him. They're going to take him. And the word take means to grab hold of him, to seize him, to catch him, and arrest him. That's their assignment. That's what they're going to do. Now, with that in mind, you need to keep that, because the Lord knows they're going to do that, and then they come to get him. So, as they're coming to get him, so they're going to take him. Now, so everything you're reading is in order, is going to fill in, help you understand. So here they are going to come and arrest him because he's saying who he is, and they don't like hearing who he is. They don't want to know who he is. Thus in chapter 7, if I can, and in verse 33. Here they're coming to take him, so now our Lord is going to give an answer. And he's going to go, and he's going to help them. They're coming to take him and arrest him. And verse 33, and Jesus saith, and then said Jesus unto them, yet a little while am I with you, and then I go unto him that sent me. I'm here for a little while, just a little while, not long, just a little while. And in the process, a short time, and I am going to go, verse 33, unto him that sent me. So I'm going to depart. I'm going to leave. But we're going to take you captive. No, you don't understand. You aren't going to take me captive at all. I'm going to go to my Father. So that's my destination. You're going to do what you're going to do, but you can't do it, as we shared last time, until my hour comes. And then, when my hour comes, I'll put out my hands and you can nail them to that piece of wood, but not until then. And if I chose, I would take 12 legions of angels. I only need one angel. Remember, what in history, one angel took care of 185,000 bad guys in one shot. Now, 12 legions, 6,000 average, that's 72,000 angels. Now, what do you think 72,000 angels could do? If one angel can take care of 185,000 bad guys, all armed like that, what do you think 12 legions of them would do? What do you think they would do if I asked them and I summoned them? Well, so here they are. They're coming to get him. And he says very calmly, wonderfully, because of who he is, I am yet a little while with you, and I go unto him that sent me. So I'm going to go to the person that sent me. And in verse 34, you shall seek me, and not find me. And then where I am, thither you cannot come. So here we're looking at verse 34, you shall seek me. You're going to be seeking me in the future. Hang on to that. And when you seek me, you're not going to find me. You're not going to find me. Now, remember in verse 28, the end, you're not going to know me. You don't know me, and you don't know who sent me. You don't know, do you? And you not only don't know, you can't go where I am. You will never go where I am. You can't know, and you can't go. And they're trying to get him. They got to stop what he's going to accomplish. Now, so in the process now, and we'll fill that in, I hope, you shall seek me and not find me, that where I am, and it's in the present tense always. So when you talk about, when you have to say, when you're passive, you know, the Lord was there, and you say the Lord was there, but he's also here. And the Lord would say, I'm here, but I'm there. God, there is no time to you. There is no past. There is no future. God, Lord, do you know who you are? I sure do. I sure do. I'm going to always show you my humanity, but never forget, I'm very conscious of my deity. You'll pick it up tonight, I hope, if the Lord tarries in the valley. Now, so here, picking up if we can, and where I am, you cannot come. You cannot come to where I am, not at all. Over, while you're looking just right there quickly, chapter 8, he's going to fill it in again, chapter 8, 21. Then said Jesus again unto them, I go my way, and you shall seek me, and you shall die in your sins. Whither I go, you cannot come. Where I'm going, you can't go. Now that's an awesome thought. I think of that often, you know. Where I'm going, many are not going to ever be able to go. They're never going to go there. Wow. So now, here, and you're going to die in your sins. Sliding down to verse 24, I said therefore unto you that you shall die in your sins, for if you believe not that I am he, you shall die in your sins. And that's chapter 13. Matthew. So he told them, it isn't a question, and he's going to say it again in chapter 13, please, and in verse 33. 13 and 33, so you'll see this, just God saying it over and over and hitting the target. So there's no question, God, is that why you gave us these 21 chapters? It is. I'm trying to help you. I'm trying to fill in pieces. There's a million pieces you could use, but I'm going to give you the ones you need, the ones you need. So now, in verse 33, little children, to upper room before he goes out to be crucified, little children, yet a little while I am with you. You shall seek me, as I said unto the Jews, whether I go, you cannot come. So now I say to you. So you're reminding us in the upper room, here's the disciples, you're reminding us in the upper room that when we were there, we were standing there listening to these conversations. When you talked to the Jews and you said they can't go where you're going, they can't come, no. And you remember chapter 13, verse 33, I told you these things, I told you that. Now, and thus, in the process, they are, in verse chapter 7 again. Excuse me. In chapter 7, you cannot come where I am going. Remember where I am. And remember now, they are going to look for, they're going to look to have some kind of, you can't come, but you're going to want to come. You're going to want something, but you're not going to be able to get it. You're not going to be able to get it. Overhold your finger here just for a moment in John chapter 7 and go over to Luke chapter 17. Luke in chapter 17. And picking up, remember now, they're long. You're going to long, but you're going to not, it's never going to be satisfied. You're going to wish. You're going to wish that I was around coming up. And I'm not going to be there. Now, hang on to that. Chapter 17, verse 22. And he said unto the disciples, the days will come when you shall desire to see one of the days of the Son of Man, and shall not see it. And they shall say to you, see here or see there. Go not after them, nor follow them. As things get difficult, you're going to look for a Savior. You're going to look for help. You're going to look for hope. You're going to have to try something. That's right. But you aren't going to find it. Now, and thus, sliding down. Verse 24. For as the lightning that lighteth out of the one part of the under heaven and shineth unto the other part under heaven, so shall also the Son of Man be in his day. But, verse 25, but first must he suffer many things and be rejected of this generation. Verse 26, as it was in the days of Noah, so shall it be also in the days of the Son of Man. And you're going to think everything's nice and okey-dokey, and tomorrow it isn't going to be at all. That's how it's going to be. That's how it's going to be. Wow. Now, and in the process of that, John chapter 7, and remember now, they couldn't come to where he's going. They can't go where, they don't know the Father, and they can't go to the Father. They don't know the Father. So now in chapter 7, picking up please, in verse, remember now, he said, you shall seek me, verse 34. You shall not find me. Where I am, thither you cannot come. You can't come to where I am. So now, the answer from, they're standing there, and here's the guards, here's the people who arrest him. They're all there, and they're going to answer him. They're going to answer. So now, they're thinking. Then said Jesus among themselves, verse 35, whither will he go, whether, where, to what place will he go, that we shall not find him? Now, what is he, got some secret thing like today, go hide as a terrorist or something? Where's he going to hide? There's no place he can hide that we couldn't find him if we want to find him. Can't we find him? Can't we find him? Where is he going to hide? Where is he going to go? Ah. So, they said, where will he go that we shall not find him? Will he go unto the dispersed? Will he go unto the dispersed? And remember now, the word dispersed has to do with the word separation, to sow, S-O-W. Sow seed, to sow, to scatter, to sow, to disperse the people. Now, what do you know? Well, here's the Assyrian captivity way back here, the 10 tribes in the north. Here's the Babylonian captivity here, and here it all is. And where are Jews? Well, the Jews are in Jerusalem, but the Jews are all over Egypt and Asia Minor. There are all kinds of places. Now, to pick it up so you can see it and get the meaning of it, if you would, over in James, hold your finger in chapter 7 of John and go over to James and chapter 1, I guess. James 1. And remember now, they're going to go, and you have the word dispersed. James 1:1. James, a servant of God and of the Lord Jesus Christ, to the 12 tribes, that's the Jews, which were scattered, that's your word, dispersed, dispersion. They're scattered abroad. Greeting. So James, you're writing as a Jew, Jerusalem, but here's all the Jews. We're all over the place. They are. Over at one other place to Peter, and you'll see it again. 1 Peter and chapter 1, you'll pick up the little word and bring it home, I trust. And Peter, an apostle of Jesus Christ, to the strangers scattered, there's your word, dispersed, throughout Pontus, Galatia, Cappadocia, Asia, Bithynia. They're all scattered. So now, got that little part, back over to chapter 7 of John. And so what are they going to do? They're talking among themselves. Jesus said, you can't go where I'm going to go. And they said, well, where can you go that we can't find you? And then they said, in trying to think it through, will he go unto the dispersed? That means the Jews that are among the Gentiles all over. Is he going to go to the Jewish people, synagogue over here in Egypt, a synagogue over here in Asia Minor? Are they going to go to the Jews? Is that where he's going to go? Is he going to try to hide among the Jews? Go to the Jews out there? Is that what he's going to do? He's going to leave Palestine. Dispersed means Jews out of Palestine. And thus, whither will he go? Verse 35, that we shall not find him. Will he go into this dispersed, separated among the Gentiles, and teach the Gentiles? Is he going to go and reach the Jews, Gentiles out there? Is he going to go and teach them? Is he going to play God? Is he going to go and play Messiah? Is he going to go, since we reject him? Will he go there and try to play the same thing out there and be something out there? Is that what he's going to do? Try to hide? We'll find him. We'll find him. Scorn, rebuke. They aren't happy at all. And thus in the process of that, verse 36, what manner of saying is this that he said? Now, I'm going to read the rest of verse 36. Verse 36 is an exact quote of verse 34. They repeat the tense, the verb, exactly the same as he said it. Thus, verse 36, what manner of saying is this that he said? You shall seek me, but you shall not find me. And that where the place that I'm going to, thither you cannot come. What is this thing that he said? But he said, now in the process of that, who does he think he is? And he's saying this, and here they are ready to take him. Let me just jump ahead quickly over to chapter 7. And in verse 40, remember, they're going to take and seize him, chapter 7. And in verse 44, you'll pick up the thought. And some of them would have taken him, there's your little verb, they would have taken him, but no man laid hands on him. They were going to seize him and arrest him. But they can't. They couldn't do it. There's no guards, there's no one protecting them. We just couldn't do it. And then their explanation to the ones, the chief priest who sent them, verse 45. Then came the officers to the chief priest and Pharisees and said unto them, then came the officers to the chief priest and Pharisees, and they said unto them, why have you not brought him and arrested him? And the officers, verse 46, answered him, never man spake like this man. and we were powerless as he spoke. The very God who said, "Stand still," and everything stays still. The word have I spoken, and the power and authority of that word. And thus, they didn't arrest him. It wasn't his time, and they weren't going to do it. They were going to grab him. They had no reason they couldn't have got him, except it was impossible. God didn't let it happen. If God didn't let it happen, it wasn't going to happen. So now, having said that, and they're all upset, they aren't happy, they're frustrated, their pride has been injured, they are not happy campers at all, and they don't know what to do, and there's not much they can do, actually. And the grim truth, they couldn't get it out of their mind. "You don't know him that sent me, and you can't go where I'm going." And you couldn't get rid of that, could you? No. You can't go where I'm going. You will die in your sins and never get there. Wow. So now, God, here we are, and we're looking to you to deal with us. And the grim truth of that, that there's no more opportunity to do something, to hear something. You mean time can do that to us, and our heart can, it can make it so that it may never happen for you ever. It isn't that it couldn't, but it may never happen. You said no. You could say yes. But you know, you get such a habit, such thinking, that you can't change. You can't fix it. Do you know how awful that is? When you can't fix something, you have no idea. You do know. It's so sobering. And sobering. Now, so God, here we are. And remember now, we can mistaken a sense of need of time. We can mistaken and wrongly awake too late to a sense of need. In other words, it's too late to care. Wow. So now, over if you would please, and let me run this very, very quickly for you. Oh, keeping in mind now, remember now, when they were seeking him, and without turning there, you can do it, you're right here, why not? It isn't a long time. In John chapter 6 and verse 24, they came, remember, to Capernaum all the way after being fed. And they had the wrong reason to seek him out. They wanted food, and they wanted to make him a king on their terms. And they had the wrong reasons for seeking Jesus, the wrong reasons for worshiping Jesus. Why do you worship Jesus? Well, because I'm not a communist, and I'm not an evolutionist. And I could be a cultist though, whatever. And I am not. We worship Jesus. Do you know him? I know. Oh. Thus, they repeated. They had the wrong. You can seek God's wonderful person and grace for the wrong reasons. And it won't work. And secondly, and you get people got frustrated and they were hostile, and we shared without doing all of that, remembering that they are hostile, they want to kill him, that's what they're going to do. and they aren't interested in light and truth and right, R-I-G-H-T. They aren't interested in that. They're trying to maintain a status quo of their thinking, what they feel, what they want, and they don't want to have to deal with it. So the only way to do it is get rid of them. Close your Bible, throw the Bible out the window, do whatever. Shut the buildings down, kill the believers, whatever. Do whatever it is so you don't have to think about it. And then, of course, you come into the thing. In the process, they were told they could always seek him, but in seeking him, they needed to have a heart. Now, I'm going to take you very quickly back over to Deuteronomy chapter 4. Deuteronomy in chapter 4. So, he said, you can't go where I'm going. You can't go there. And in the process, in Deuteronomy in chapter 4, may I pick up directly, so you see it, what did he tell Israel? This is their assignment before they cross the Jordan River, etc. And he reminds them they're going to go into captivity, be scattered, and all of that. And in verse 29, when that happens, verse 29, chapter 4, but if thou from hence thou shalt seek the Lord thy God, and thou shalt find him, that's success. You're going to seek the Lord and you'll find him. If thou seek him with all thy heart and with all thy soul, you've got to seek him with all your heart. You've got to seek him. You can't, no little games. Mental, intelligent, academic games. No, you don't play games. You don't play games. If you got hit with a snowplow truck, how's that? And they pick you up, and actually the snowplow helps since it's there, and helps you get up. It gives you a little push, and the 911 comes and they put you in the ambulance and off you go. And there you go. And you aren't in very good shape. Let me ask you, are you going to go when you ride, the ambulance is going toot-toot down the road, and you're going to go? Are you going to go and say, well, listen, as you get off, as they let you off at the hospital, I say, listen, doc, are you a PA? What's it, physician? Is that one? Is that the PAs? A physician assistant? And the assistant of the physician's assistant, and the assistant of the physician's assistant. What are you? Is that what you're going to do? Are you going to talk and say, Doc, what do you do? How successful have you been with snowplow hits? Is that what you're going to do? You don't care 2 cents about that. You just are looking and say, help me. But you've got to have a heart. So chapter 5, as you know, with all your heart, if you seek me. But if you don't, you know, doctor, you can't touch me until I hear your credentials. See, I don't care if you have credentials or you never had them. If you got anything you can do to help me, do it. Chapter 5, they need to have a heart, though. Chapter 5, remember, verse 29, oh, that there was such an heart in them that they would fear me and keep my commandments always, that it might be well with them and with their children forever. But they didn't do that. They didn't do that at all. They didn't do that. So now, God, if they seek you, and over, if you would, quickly to Isaiah. Isaiah chapter 55. They have to seek him. But you can't go where I'm going. Well, we are going to seek you. You are. But you aren't going to find me. You'll want to go where I am, but you can never go there. You can never go there. Isaiah 55. You have a little word, a verb. Isaiah 55, what are you going to say right in the middle of 55, verse 6? Seek, there's your little verb, seek ye the Lord while he may be found. Call ye upon him while he is near. Now. Now is the day of salvation. Now. Now. But now. Hold it. Now. And in the process, over to chapter Luke. Luke chapter 19. And in Luke 19, picking up the thought, if I can, in verse 41. Remember, the Lord Jesus is looking at the city. Verse 41, when he was come near, entering Jerusalem, he beheld the city, and he wept. And the word wept isn't just dripping tears. It means to sob. To sob over it. Saying, if thou hadst known, even thou at least in this thy day, the things which belong unto thy peace, but now are they hid from thine eyes. For the day shall come upon thee, that thine enemies shall cast a trench about thee, and shall compass thee round, and keep thee on every side, and shall lay thee even with the ground, and thy children within thee, and they shall not leave in thee one stone upon another, because thou knewest not the time of thy visitation. You didn't realize. Now, what was the problem in chapter 7? We know you do. You think I'm the Messiah. And you're right. I am the Messiah. But are you going to take that knowledge and tie it together with God's word and the person of God? Are you going to do that? No, we aren't going to do that. So therefore, we're going to go when, this is referring to Titus, 70 AD, and Titus comes in and destroys Jerusalem more than Nebuchadnezzar, as it were. A terrible, terrible time. Nebuchadnezzar looked good. Wow. A terrible time. And you won't know. Because you're going to wish you knew me then, aren't you? You're going to want to find me. But you won't. I am God. You do not want to honor me who I am as who I am. And you're going to need me coming up in just a few years. And you're going to cry and wish you could find me. But you will have rejected me. And you cannot find me. You cannot go where I am. Without faith, it's impossible what? To please him. For he that cometh to God must believe what? That he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently, one long verb, he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. If you seek me with all your heart, but I don't have a heart in it, I just have an intellect, it won't save you. It won't help you. It won't help, and you're going to need help, and you aren't going to find it. No, you aren't going to find it at all. So now, God, in your wonderful kindness, that we're going to seek you with all our heart and find you. If you seek me with all your heart, you'll find me. Don't lose the sense of sin, God. Don't lose the sense of a need of a Savior. Don't lose the sense of God has said something to be believed. Believe it. Once you lose that, you're lost. And how do you get found when you don't know how to find him and you can't find him? because you have set your heart and mind in such a way that you can't get to him back on the snowplow. You're just glad to get wheeled to the hospital. You're glad. God, it's a wonderful thing. You know, they could have known, but they didn't want to. They'd rather kill you. They would. And God said, listen, I want you to know that all earthly attempts to negate me, to debate me, to eliminate me, to have big discussions, theological, are for the birds. All they're going to do is keep you from ever coming to a simple, wonderful understanding of our Lord Jesus Christ. He said, who I am. Who I am. Do you know who I am? Do you believe who I am? Will you allow me to be your Lord and Savior? That's what I want to know. No discussion. No debate. I just want to know if that's what you're going to let happen. Well, no. Then guess what? It didn't happen, did it? It didn't happen. It could have, but it didn't. Wow. So, God, if you seek me with all your heart, you'll find me. I am not very far. Romans 10. Deuteronomy. I'm right here. And you're right here. You wanted me, my presence, and my word. And I'm right here to save you. Now. Our God and Father, we thank you for thy word and work, and God, what do we know? Thank you very, very much. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you for your grace and mercy and kindness, your patience, your long before being angry, for giving us a little understanding, God, of the human heart, our human ingenuity and moving and maneuvering in order to try to avoid reality. God, help us. God, for those who know you're not a Savior, God, do the wonderful convicting work that only you can do. And we'll thank you very, very much. In Christ's name, amen. And perhaps we can sing, please, hymn number 562. 562.